Living the Christian life is not always easy. I think sometimes in church circles, you know, we sort of give the impression that come to Jesus, find Jesus, and everything's wonderful, and life's a bed of roses, and life is easy. And then, not far down the road, we discover it's not always true, because it can be difficult. We are buffeted around by events around us and what's going on in our own lives. We're buffeted about by those things, and life sometimes gets difficult. We go through difficult times, and our faith is challenged. Not always easy. We live at a time when upholding Christian values is becoming less and less accepted. Used to be just accepted, now it's challenged, and quite vociferously challenged too. Living the Christian life is not easy. This letter to the Hebrews is written to Christians who were finding life not easy. They were under a lot of pressure. These were people who had converted mainly from the Jewish faith and become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And now they're under pressure. They're under pressure to give up this newfound faith. They're under pressure to give up on what they really had valued. And the pressure is coming from two sides. It's coming from a secular world around them that says, what's all this God stuff? Don't worry about that stuff. That's all that. Let's move on. That's one pressure. The other pressure was from people around that said, no, just come back into your old way of life. Come back and do all the things you used to do. Forget about this Jesus thing. Just come back to where you were. Join us back here again. And so there was pressure, if you like, from the world outside, but there was also pressure from religious groups around them. They faced these twin pressures. And so the writer to the Hebrews is writing to them to help to encourage them in their faith. People who are under pressure, who are feeling pushed around, or feeling squashed, or feeling dragged one way and another, the writer to the Hebrews writes to try and encourage them, to help them. And he encourages them to look to Jesus. He encourages them to remember who and what Jesus is. So there's the question. Who are you looking at? Now, you can say that in different ways. It could be a really narky, who are you looking at? Or it could be, who are you looking at? So who are you looking at? And why would you look to Jesus? Why would you look to Jesus? After all, there are lots of different ways that God has revealed himself. There is a beautiful world. We could just go out and enjoy creation. Why look to Jesus? Over the years, God has sent lots of different people, as prophets and people who have spoken his word. But just pay attention to them. Why look to Jesus? And so right at the very start of this letter to the Hebrews, they're told why. And if you want to turn it up in the Pew Bible, sorry, I'll get you the page number here. No, I won't get you the page number. It's page 1200, I think. Page 1200, is that right? If I'm right. Sorry, I'm a page out, 1201. Now I need to move my book over, my Bible over. There we are. 1201, Hebrews chapter 1. And here it is. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. All down through the years, God has sent these prophets, and in different ways, in different times, God has spoken through these people. They weren't people who popped up and said, I've had a great idea. They weren't people who popped up and thought, you know, I have a new way of looking at life. These were people who God raised up to say, here's what God is saying. Thus saith the Lord. Here's what God thinks. And so all down through the years, you've got these people who did this. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds these early Christians, we've got that. And then comes, but. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He hasn't kept quiet. He hasn't taken a back seat. We have the prophets. We have the word of God. We've not forgotten about these prophets. Jesus came. Jesus said he came not to abolish the law and abolish what had gone before, but rather to fill it up, to complete it. So we look to Jesus. He has spoken to us by his Son. In Jesus, God has closed the biggest communication gap that there is. The gap between this holy God of whom we've sung and sinful mankind. There are lots of communication gaps around us. We are beset by strikes and industrial disputes all around us where there's a gap. We've gaps in our own society. We've gaps in our own relationships where communication is broken down. God has spoken through his Son and has closed this greatest communication gap between the holy God and sinful man in Jesus. Now, there are lots of people around us who have lots of different ideas, who will try to get our attention. There are all those ideas, there are all those philosophies, there are all those different worldviews out there. But the message of Hebrews, if you try to condense it all into a few short words, the message of the book of Hebrews is simply, Jesus is better. No matter what it is you're thinking about, Jesus is better. So these folks who are tempted to go back to their Jewish faith, the writer is saying, hold on a minute, Jesus is better. And to us, when we're bombarded with all these different viewpoints, Jesus is better. And if we remember nothing else about the book of Hebrews, that's what it is. Jesus is better. And here's some reasons why Jesus is better. And they're listed in this chapter 1. He's God's Son. Yes, all these prophets came, but none of them are God's Son. Yes, God ministered to his people through angels all down through the years, but none of them were God's Son. Jesus is God's Son. He is the appointed heir of all things. All things in heaven on earth will be under his control. He is the appointed heir of all things. Through him, the universe was made. He is God's perfect revelation. He is the exact representation of God. He is the radiance of God. So when you look to Jesus, you see what God is like. The exact representation. In Jesus, all the majesty of God's splendor is shown. Jesus is the one who sustains and holds everything together. Jesus is the one who's made this perfect and unique sacrifice on the cross. No one else has died for your sins. Only Jesus. So Jesus is better for these and so many other reasons, and they're all listed in this chapter. Jesus is better. He's a perfect, sinless person. He makes this perfect sacrifice for our salvation. He has complete authority in heaven and earth. Who else would you worship? Who else would you look at? Jesus is better. So who are you looking at? Who are you looking to for your lead, for your example? Jesus is better. And because of this Jesus, well, you never need to worry that anything or anyone can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus is better. That's what the Bible says. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is better. You don't need to struggle to win God's approval. How often do we do that? The things that we do or don't do because we think it might win God's approval, you put a little tick on our card somehow. We don't need to do that. We already have God's approval because Jesus Christ has died for us. And we're set free from that struggle, that striving. We've got the joy and relief of knowing that what Jesus has done has paid a debt that we could never hope to pay. Jesus died on the cross and paid that debt for our sin. So all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our shame is wiped away through faith in Jesus. And when we stand before our Heavenly Father, He doesn't see our guilt and sin and shame. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. So who would you be looking at? So how do you keep going? How do you keep encouraged? Well, the writer to the Hebrews simply wants us to look to Jesus. How do you keep going? Look to Jesus. How do you keep encouraged in your faith? Look to Jesus. Because if we look anywhere else, the shoulders go down. Look to Jesus, and there we have our confidence. There we have our reassurance. There we have our glorious future. Because Jesus is better. Who are you looking at? May God give each one of us the grace not only to look at Jesus, but to see who Jesus is, to know what Jesus has done for us, and find our confidence in Him. Let's pray together. Father, we live in a world where there's a lot of information and perhaps not a lot of communication. A world, Lord, where news goes 24 hours a day, where our phones are rarely silent, where we chat to and about each other. And yet, Lord, we confess again, we've been slow to hear You. We've been slow to be open to Your communication. Father, we are so easily distracted. And in our distraction, we become discouraged. So, Lord, this morning we pray for two things. One, that by Your Holy Spirit You would lift our eyes that we may look at Jesus. And the other is that we may encourage each other in doing just that. And then, Lord, send us out into this world, aware of other voices, but confident in You alone. Send us out into this world sensitive to the needs, and yet confident that Your grace is sufficient. Send us out into this world, knowing that it is broken and distorted by sin, but knowing too that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And all for the praise of your glory. Amen.